Hey, and welcome back to Unwrapped. It is me, Tasha Pierce, and I thank you for joining me right back here again at the intersection between pop culture and common sense. Today is April 8th. Had to put that out there. We had to keep this thing linear for the people. It's April 8th, and y'all did y'all thing this weekend, United States. I saw you. Yes, there were historic protests out on the streets of most major cities and many smaller towns. People came out with their best puns on signs, and they protested the mess that we are in with Donald Trump. You guys got the sweet, sweet taste of resistance. Oh yes, you guys look so great out there too. Everybody standing in unity, shouting in one voice, shouting truth to power. I enjoyed seeing it. Really did. Enjoyed covering it a bit. I covered most of it on my YouTube channel until that is. The power went out in Houston. It went out for just a little while, but it went out in the midst of my live stream. But hey, that's why I'm here today, to kind of wrap the conversation up and also to provide some reminders to people who did not join us on the live stream. Because, yes, went out in record numbers over the weekend, and Monday came and not much had changed. But you can't see the changes in the beginning. It's a grower, not a shower. So the changes are not necessarily going to be visible to the naked eye. But there are some people on Capitol Hill that are very nervous right now, because they saw the numbers that you guys took to the streets in, and they say, how many of those people represent my constituents? How many of those people that are marching right now live next door to one of my most loyal voters and has their ear while I'm ducking town halls? They have those neighbors' ears every single day. They could be rallying their own support for their own candidate, and now I have to be afraid. And it wouldn't just be, you know, your representatives or your senators. I think there are people tiptoeing around in the Oval Office that are wondering, how long is this sustainable? And by how long is this sustainable, I'm talking about the kind of bipolar way in which Donald Trump is executing his executive powers. This latest thing with the tariffs, this thing is going to get completely out of hand. I mean, it already has. It's a full-on trade war, and we are sitting further and further away from the rest of the world on the economy. They are going to work together. We're going to be sitting on our island, and Donald Trump is going to find out that applying these tariffs in 2025 is not the same as when it was done in the 19th century, even in the 20th century. This is a new time. Everything globally is so inextricably linked. And you'll find out, once you find yourself on the outside of that link, you find out just how hard it is out here for a pimp. Then we have the cases of the many people who were quote unquote gang members, or people who were anti-Semites, or people who are dangerous to national security. All of these people are being picked up off the streets and moved around. And then we find out that what we have been told about these people, especially the ones that they sent to El Salvador, we're finding out that most of the stuff that they said about these people were not true. Now you have people sitting over in El Salvador. This is according to a 60 Minutes report, where there are at least 75% of those people who were sent to El Salvador have no criminal record in the United States, have no links or ties to the Tren de Aragua gang. They were sent there under false pretenses. And now this Trump administration is saying they can't get them back. That is literally insane to me. And it is extremely, extremely dangerous in that if you don't have due process for one, you don't have due process for any, because at some point you'll get caught slipping. You'll be standing outside at your mailbox getting your mail and somebody rolls up on you and asks you to prove in that moment who you are. And then when you don't have a document, oh, I got to go in the house and get this. They say no and they take you and they say that you're somebody else and they lock you in El Salvadoran boot camp. As a matter of fact, my understanding is today there were reports that that is precisely where this thing was going next. That the Trump administration is looking for ways to send United States citizens to El Salvador for their profitable prison. And look, I think the announcement about sending people to El Salvador, to the Gulag, is indirect response to those protests this weekend. It's like step out of line if you want to. This is what's waiting for you. We cannot allow that to frighten us. Can't allow ourselves to be scared into submission by this regime. And I know it's easy for me to say from behind a microphone, but sweetie, they coming for me too. If they come for you, they gonna come for me, because I'm talking cash shit about this administration. Anyway, so it's kind of easy, I guess, if you could get discouraged about doing that protest, standing in solidarity with all those people, just to come back to more ridiculousness Monday. Turning the tide on one of these authoritarian type regimes has never been easy. One thing's for sure. If you go back and you learn history, not just American history, but world history, history has the receipts, y'all. Reversing authoritarian regimes is not like flipping a light switch. It takes work. It takes widespread work. We saw that this weekend. But it also takes sustained, risky, messy work. But here's the thing. The thing is, it can be done. We've seen it happen before. We've seen it from South Africa to Serbia, Chile, to the civil rights movement right here in the United States. People can fight back and can win. So where do we start? We start with building that united and organized opposition. You know how in every good resistance story, hit you upside the head with Star Wars this time, there's always that moment where all the unlikely allies come together. They play their little part in the domino effect that is toppling the regime, the rebels, the politicians with a conscience. The underground networks, everyday people who just are done with the BS. We've seen it. It's not just for movies. That's how real change starts. Coalitions, not just people who openly agree with each of us. No, we need people who have diverging viewpoints. We need students. We need workers. We need religious leaders, artists. We need to hear from the marginalized communities. And yep, even some of the people who helped to build up the Trump system, but they are finally waking up. We need them too. We don't have to agree on everything. But if we agree that authoritarianism is a no-no, that's enough to start. And our second mode would be knowing when to go underground. In repressive regimes, they don't just come for your rights. They come for your voice. That's why underground networks are key. So back in the day, resistance fighters had to use code words, smuggled letters, hidden printing presses. Today, it might look like encrypted apps, burner accounts, even old school word of mouth. You know, sometimes word of mouth is a little bit iffy. We all played the telephone game, but we have to do whatever it takes to stay connected and keep moving, even under pressure. And don't sleep on these unsung heroes, the organizers who never get the mic, the tech folks keeping things secure, the folks making sure supplies get where they need to go. Revolution is teamwork. Revolution is teamwork. And the third thing that we need to do is control the narrative. Keep the spin going before the regime does. Because see, a lot of the people who don't understand why we're so upset, the regime has already gotten to them. There are some people who really believe that our protesting is pointless. There are some people who really believe that we are just sore losers. They are not looking at what's happening before us as anything but business as usual. And I'm telling you, when I'm standing from the outside looking in on that mess, it looks like anything but business as usual. So controlling the narrative, this one is personal for me, because media is power. And when the state controls the message, they can convince people to just accept anything. That's why independent voices like mine and yours, journalists, bloggers, podcasters, even the people that make the memes, you guys have been, mwah, chef's kiss, meme makers. You guys are all frontline fighters in this battle. Somebody is going to get part of a message because of something that you wrote, that you said, that you drew. Something that you created is going to get someone's attention and get them on the right track. Y'all are the front line of this battle. If you got a platform, use it. If you got a voice, raise it. Even small things matter. Fact check, share reliable information, uplifting dissenting voices. Every time we punch a hole in the propaganda bubble, the truth gets a little more oxygen, and then we can breathe, right? So let me say it plain. Turning around an authoritarian regime isn't about one hero. Where's Barack Obama? No, it's not about one hero swooping in to save the day. It's about all of us from every walk of life getting in this fight together. We stay loud, we stay smart, we stay connected. Now, we got all that thing going. We saw some solidarity. We think we can sustain this. How do we keep the fire lit? How do we keep the momentum in this fight? We talked about how to start the resistance. How do we keep it going when the cameras turn off, which there were not enough turned on this weekend? We gonna get that. We gonna get it together. They needed to see that we were serious. How do we keep this thing going when the cameras turn off, when the headlines changed, that Monday morning comes around and it looks like everybody forgot what the hell happened this weekend? How do you keep things going when people start getting tired? Because let's be honest. These regimes like dictatorships, authoritarians, those regimes are built to wait us out. They want us to burn hot and fizzle fast. But we can't let the movement become a moment. There are many moments that make up a movement, but we cannot let the movement become one moment. You feeling me? So how we keep the fire lit is by normalizing people like me, normalize micro-activism. So not everybody can be out in the streets every day. Some of us are caretakers, disabled, agoraphobic like your girl, or just plain exhausted. And that's okay. We don't all have to move in the same way. But we got to do something regularly. You got to write a letter, call a rep, share an article. Simple as that. Uplift a protester's voice. Fund a bail fund. Host a Zoom teach-in. Make it part of a weekly routine, like watering a plant. Because that's what resistance is. It's not something that comes fully done. It's something you grow. For it to grow, you got to feed it. We also need to create rhythms of resistance. We need movement-wide rituals. Town halls, or maybe monthly town halls, maybe weekly blue sky threads, scheduled donation days. These are things that we need to have going regularly, the same way that the Trump cult is getting their regular dose of indoctrination. And when the dear leader puts out a Truth Social post or gets on the news and says some word salad. That is a steady course of indoctrination into the Trump cult. The resistance needs that too. Like I said, if you donate stuff, schedule donation days. If you do art, drop your art on certain days. Have protest anniversaries. Things that bring people back into the fold. Because it's like, okay, we got them here. How do we keep them coming? Things like having these rituals keeps the energy up and gives people something to look forward to and to organize around. Think of it like Star Trek Day. First Contact Day was last week. First Contact Day. We can have our own First Contact Day of resistance. These traditions equal strength. The number one takeaway in as far as rituals are concerned. People need to know what they're going to do and when they're going to be doing it. Some people are good at assigning these types of things, and other people are good at the moving around part of these things, but that's what resistance is. You need to have a tradition and strength and feed it and watch it grow. And then we need to educate to mobilize. So not just me sitting here throwing facts at people. I'm not changing your heart by doing that. So we need to teach with intention. We need to connect historical dots. Explain how policies impact real lives. Make it local. Bring it to home. Make it human. Use stories, not just statistics. If folks understood how authoritarianism touches them personally, they're way more likely to want to fight it. Sometimes it has to get to somebody's front doorstep before they get into the fight. And I don't care how the information gets to them. We got to welcome them to the fight. And then we have to celebrate the wins, even the small ones. Like this weekend, 5 million people is not small. That is nothing to shake a feather at. Every protest that doesn't get crushed, though. So even when we went to the smallest town and had 10 or 12 people representing that very small town, that is a protest that didn't get crushed, and it's a win. Every vote that blocks a power grab, every time you see a Republican cross the aisle to vote with the Democratic members of Congress, those wins. Every corrupt appointee exposed, every scandal brought to light, those are wins. Those little victories matter because they fuel the bigger fight. Eventually, this administration is going to do something so stupid that even the most diehard of diehard MAGAs will have to walk away. I don't know what the point is for them. Where's the red line in the sand? What is the flipping Rubicon for those people? But eventually, this administration is going to find it. And these little victories matter. So we're going to share them. We're going to celebrate them because they fuel the bigger fight. We're going to let people know that we are making a difference. And then, you know, I've always been saying since this whole debacle started that pop culture is resistance. We use stories to challenge authoritarianism. And I say that because I started off my channel, started with me talking about pop culture. I was talking Star Trek. I was talking Star Wars. I was talking Doctor Who. That's just my jam. That's what I do. That's what I did. You know, I want to expand the channel a little bit more. And then I started doing that. Here's where it gets juicy and really close to home. I realized that pop culture isn't just entertainment. Yeah, it took me a second to realize that pop culture is a battleground. And authoritarian regimes know that. That's why they always try to control the narrative. They ban books. They censor movies. Sanitize history. They make themselves the co-chairman of the freaking Kennedy Center. Because stories shape what we believe is possible. Stories shape what we believe is possible. And that's believable because you think about pop culture being a mirror, the Hunger Games, V for Vendetta, Black Panther, I always bring up The Handmaid's Tale Star Wars, Andor, and The Matrix. Those are not just cool stories, even though they are very cool stories. They are blueprints. They are warnings. They are rallying cries. Yabombay! They show us what resistance looks like. It makes us see what oppression feels like. And most importantly, it shows us what acting as a collective can achieve. And then, you know, we talk about my shit. My shit is always sci-fi. I love sci-fi, fantasy, sci-fi. Y'all already know Star Trek is basically my jam. And basically a utopia that is born out of a global catastrophe. Like, they had to do some absolutely bonkers shit for them to grow to get this utopia, this utopian society. Every time I watch the Federation overcome a corrupt admiral or a power-hungry regime, Section 31 control, or we are rehearsing resistance when we see that, when we watch that. We're imagining better. And that is radical. And then cults of personality, we see that in some television, some pop culture. We see a cult of personality, and that cult of personality uses the media to manipulate. We see also how fear is weaponized to control people. That's real life wrapped around true crime, sci-fi. We got all of that with a nice bow on it. That is how pop culture and politics intersect. And then I talked about the people who make the memes. Y'all really been on fire lately. Some of the stuff that I have seen come down my blue sky thread, I'm just like, I love being here, because in this age, a meme can do just as much damage or more to a dictator's image as a protest sign. A viral TikTok, a viral blue sky post, a viral YouTube short. All of those things can spread truth faster than a press release. How many people read press releases? Now you think, now how many people spend hours on one of those social media platforms I just mentioned? How many people are on there regularly? Art disrupts, humor disarms, creativity connects. So don't downplay the content that you're creating. It is a form of protest to love. And if you are telling stories that punch up, never down, that challenge the system, and that uplifts the people, you are already in the fight. The revolution needs artists, dreamers, nerds, historians, and everyday folks with a mic. So whether you're marching in the streets or breaking it down on your podcast or making your music, you matter. You're not alone. The next big scheduled protest is going to be April 19th. It's another hands-off type of production. So hopefully we can get bigger numbers out there Easter weekend. We shall see. It's a big ask. For Easter weekend, we're going to find out how many people are willing to make that sacrifice. And I really hope to see numbers at least comparable to what we had this past weekend. Support the show at patreon.com/TashaPierce, where you can make a one-time donation to Cash App. That is going to be down in the description box for this podcast. You can also find a list of other protests, other boycotts that may be going on, and more information about the April 19th protests that will be hopefully nationwide, like we saw this past weekend. I don't have anything else, y'all. I didn't want to be heavy, because I do want to reward you guys for really, really good work out there. Don't want to pile on. You know, eventually we're going to have to talk about some of this bullshit, right? I'm going to try to keep it light, keep it informative. If you guys have anything that you want me to talk about, please feel free to email me at snapaftermoviestv tashapierce@gmail.com. Yes, like I said, I drop knowledge. I don't spill tea because you deserve so much more than just tea. It's been fun talking to you, and I will catch you in the next one. Peace.
Taxes was paying so much to get your taxes done every single year. Now Taxes is getting a TurboTax expert who will beat the price you paid your pro last year, so you get the most money back this year. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Switch to an expert now at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Proof of amount paid may be required. Must sign up by 3/18 and file by 3/25. Subject to terms at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at GuardYourCard.com.